Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. There's a whopper for you. Brings up all kinds of questions. A demon that cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Are there other kinds of demons? How many kinds of demons are there? What are those demons like? And why does Jesus say that this kind can only be driven out by prayer? Are there other ways to drive out different kinds of demons? Holy water? Wave a crucifix at it? What in the world is going on with this text? Questions like that are interesting. Part of the reason they're so appealing and part of the reason they draw our attention is because they're exciting. They almost feel a little bit scandalous, a little bit dangerous. I mean, after all, this is the stuff that movies are made of, exorcisms and demons. When it comes to a Bible class or a cup of coffee, I'm all for diving into questions like that. The problem is, I don't think that's actually what we ought to focus on for today's text. I think questions about demons and how to drive demons out, those are more like a shiny object that might distract us from the main point Mark wants us to get from this story. Because yes, the text mentions demons, but it's not really about demons. It's not really about different types of demons. It's more about the different types of people. Different types of people that we might interact with on a regular basis. You see, some people are like the scribes. The scribes who just wanted to argue with the disciples. People who just want to argue with God's children. They are an unbelieving generation, Jesus says. People who don't really want anything to do with Jesus or his promises. They refuse to believe in what Jesus said. Refuse to believe in what Jesus did. To them, in our text, Jesus says, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long do I have to put up with you?" And perhaps they heard that they are in need of salvation. Maybe they heard about what God has done for them in Christ, but they reject it. And even more so, like the scribes in today's text, they argue against it. They go on social media or the nightly news, and they say how real Christians ought to think. That you real Christians ought to have this or that political view about this or that controversial topic. Always looking to stir up a hornet's nest. They criticize Christians. They mock us for our confession of creation, our confession of sexuality, our confession of gender identity. In today's text, they're arguing with some disciples. When Jesus finds the nine at the beginning of today's reading, a crowd and the scribes were gathered around them, obviously arguing about the fact that these disciples could not heal the man's son. The disciples are probably frustrated. The disciples are probably embarrassed. And so the scribes pounced. People of this world often frustrate us as the children of God. They will challenge us as the children of God. The unbelieving Jews did the exact same thing to Jesus and his disciples. Why would we expect anything different? The assault of the unbelieving world is an ongoing reality for the children of God. It's how our life is going to look. So what are we to do about it? What are we to do when the challenges come? Well, the answer is found later in the text. Because the next type of people we see are those like the nine disciples. People who have received the gifts of God, but at least in this case, who do not use them rightly. They treat God's gifts as if they work apart from faith, as if simply saying the right words or performing the right ritual ought to be enough. The disciples could not cast out this boy's demon. The details of today's text make more sense when we consider the larger context of the Gospel of Mark. You see, just a few chapters earlier in Mark's Gospel, Jesus had given his disciples authority over the unclean spirits. And they did go out into the countryside and cast out demons and heal diseases. So why could they not cast out this one? Well, Jesus himself gives us the answer. He says this kind cannot be come out by anything but by prayer. So I think what apparently happened is that while Jesus was up on the mountain of transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, the rest of his disciples took it upon themselves to try and cast out some demons, maybe perform some other miraculous signs. They went to places where Jesus had not sent them. Maybe they got bored. Maybe they thought that taking the initiative upon themselves would impress Jesus, earn them some brownie points. Whatever the case, when Jesus came back down from the Mount of Transfiguration and found these disciples, what he found was a group of humiliated and embarrassed men whose failure was being waved in their face by the enemies of the gospel. You see, that's the truth about Jesus' authority and his power. It doesn't work like a vending machine. It's not a matter of simply punching in the right buttons to get a bag of chips. It's not simply a matter of saying the right words to cast out a demon or to cause the lame to walk or perform some other miraculous sign. But Jesus points us to faith. Unless the disciples received the authority as Jesus gave it, they could not use it. So perhaps we see in the disciples a picture of ourselves. When the disciples asked Jesus why they failed to cast out the demon, Jesus pointed them to prayer. You see, prayer is based solely on the promises of God. The reason we pray is because we have faith in the promises of God. The power of prayer is found in God himself, not in the words that we speak. Our prayer is not effective or helpful because we used the right phrases or because we impressed God with our poetic language. The power of our prayers is not found in anything that we do. Prayer is effective only because of the one who hears our prayers, the one who answers our prayers. The disciples failed to cast out the demon because their faith was in themselves and in their words and in their ability. They thought they had the power to do whatever they pleased. So Jesus points them back to prayer, and in so doing, actually points them back to the gift of faith. Which brings us to the true point of this text in Mark. The people like the Father. People who come to our Lord, cast themselves at his feet, and say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." See, this man had a serious problem. He desperately needed help, and he was struggling with doubt. It's hard to blame him. His son had an evil spirit that made him mute. And from childhood, whenever it seized him, it threw him down so that he foamed at the mouth, grinding his teeth together, becoming rigid. The demon even regularly cast the boy into fire, cast the boy into water, trying to kill him. You can almost hear the frustration, the helplessness, the exhaustion in the father's plea. You can picture him begging Jesus to help his poor son. He asks Jesus, "Help me if you can." He's not quite sure. He'd obviously already asked the disciples for help, but they'd failed. The fact that he sought out the disciples means he probably already looked for help other places too. Maybe he had asked the Pharisees, other religious leaders of the Jews. Maybe he had gone to the priests and the priestesses of the pagan religions in the regions around him. Who knows how many times or how many ways this man had asked for help. As the man asked Jesus, "Help me if you can," Jesus repeats the words back to the man, and then he tells him, "All things are possible for the one who believes." And the man cries, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And in that we have a beautiful picture of the Christian life. You see, in contrast to the unbelieving scribes, and in contrast to the overly confident disciples, we have a man who struggles with doubt. A man beaten down by the circumstances of his life. A man exhausted by the struggles that have plagued his son. He believes Jesus can help. He believes Jesus is Messiah, but he struggles with uncertainty. Struggles with questions. Struggles with doubt. And in a moment of honest confession, he turns to the only one who can take those doubts away. So what are the things in your life that plant the seeds of doubt? Where do the questions come from for you? Is it a personal situation? A death or a sickness in your family? A burden that you carry, but you try to keep hidden from those around you? Something in your past that lingers to this day? Maybe the questions come from looking at the world around you and seeing nothing but chaos and devastation, the natural disasters, the hunger, the poverty, the bloodshed, the hateful rhetoric. Maybe the doubt comes when you look at the church at large and you see the division, you see the fighting, you see the false teachers, you see the abuses perpetuated in the name of Jesus. There's no shortage of places that might fill us with doubt and with questions. But this text reminds us that the presence of questions is not necessarily the absence of faith. I do believe, Lord. Lord, I believe. Faith is there. But Lord, I got questions. And I struggle with doubts. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he was helped. And his son was healed. Because Jesus answers prayers which are prayed in faith, even if that faith is weak. Even if that faith lives right next to doubt in our hearts. Faith still cries out to our Lord, and our Lord listens. And so the Father's prayer becomes our own. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And like Jesus answered that Father's prayer with a yes, so also he will answer our prayer according to his goodness, according to his wisdom, with what he knows we need. Not by casting out demons, but by continually giving us the things that he will use to make our faith stronger. The preaching of his word, the forgiveness of our sins, his own body and blood in the bread and wine of this altar. In these gifts, our Lord not only grants us the gift of faith, but he nourishes it. He strengthens it. He sustains that faith in the midst of doubts and hardships in this life. This text is not about demons. This text is about our life as the children of God. The world will continue to attack us and assail us. But instead of being like the disciples who tried to solve the problem themselves, we are the Father who casts himself at the mercy of Jesus. And just like our Lord gave that Father what he needed, your Lord will provide also for you. He will protect you in the times of trial and struggle. He will sustain your faith in the midst of doubt. And he will continue to give you all that you need to support this body and life. And he'll bring you safely into the life to come. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.